I've actually recently studied this with a few other brethren and talked through it. We've come to the same conclusion that you have, and I agree that it lends power that the practice of using one cup, one loaf, and one cup is just a practice that they had always done. They didn't question it. I think that also may make it hit home harder to some of us today, as their problem was that they, let's see, I'm trying to think of a good way to put it. It was not that they were not using one cup and one loaf, but it was that they were partaking of that one cup and one loaf unworthily. They weren't focusing on what they should have been focusing on. And perhaps that's something that we should talk about and study with people and study with our brethren and focus on more today.
Well, that's what I'm proposing. And, of course, our digressive brethren for years, whenever they would come to us or whether we'd be engaged in conversation with them about the procedure and use 1 Corinthians 11 to do so, they want to say, well, you know, all these emphasizing here is do this remembrance of me, you know, I'm, you know, rightly discerning the Lord's body. And, of course, their conclusion is since that's what he's emphasizing, then we don't have to worry about, you know, this pattern that you only read three times in the Gospels and one time here in Paul's writings and references somehow. I mean, it's just amazing that you could just discount the procedure based on an idea, well, all these really emphasizing here is just because he doesn't emphasize procedure, just because that wasn't his primary concern, if what I'm proposing is correct, doesn't take anything away from the pattern the Lord gives. We're showing no honor, respect at all to our Lord who did all that he did for us if we disregard what he said to do.
Appreciate the lesson very much. I thought it was very well delivered and very well studied. This is a practice that I have kind of become aware of. I was actually approached by a brother who described it before I ever became aware of it, and he described a situation where we have both an English and a Spanish congregation meeting at the same location. The English congregation meets at, I believe, 9 o'clock, and then the Spanish congregation meets at the same building a little bit later at about 12 o'clock. And, of course, do you feel that this section of Scripture in any way relates, or what's your opinion on that?
Well, I'm not sure what the concern is here that you're raising. Can you say more? What's the question?
Well, they're having two separate services.
Communion services?
Communion services. They're both one cup. The congregation is located at or near Houston.
Sounds to me like you got two different congregations meeting in the same building. Well, it sounds to me. You know, years ago, our brethren were locked out of church buildings by elders of congregations that want to go with multiple cups. Prior to that, my understanding of history is that they shared the same building. Digressive brethren met. I don't like to use the word digressive, by the way, although I understand the term and I agree that they have digressed. Those of the Cups and Sunday School persuasion would use the building at one time, and faithful brethren used the building another time so that they could, you know. Was that two different? We're going to suggest that they were both involved in the same. Now, what you got is really two congregations there, I think, meeting two different times in the same building. But if I'm understanding what you're saying, if you don't have an interpreter, it wouldn't have been scriptural for them to try to meet, you know, as a mixed scenario. People not understand what's being said. That's a whole other subject, though.
Thank you very much. I appreciated your study and your talk. But I'm going to show my ignorance, I know, here. And that's okay.
No, you can show mine. Go ahead.
You'll answer me and we'll figure it out. Or I'll go back home and think about it some more. I didn't hear you talk about verse 18, 1 Corinthians 11. First of all, when you come together as a church, and then he talks about that dinner, and then you said that dinner and all that. And I think at one point you said this is scriptural authorization for us to have a meal at the place that we worship, at the assembly place. I wanted to hear you talk about this come together as a church in relation to what you're talking about, that the coming together in verse 33 was the common meal, mm-hmm. and kind of put those things together. And I know that I'll disclaim saying that we couldn't support that meal out of the contribution or out of the Lord's treasury or anything like that. But it would seem to me that if this is authority for us to come together as a church, and you ask him to tell him, you know, more where you're coming, so that's what I'm doing right here.
Yeah.
If this was authority for us to come together as a church for a common meal, then I think it might be a little easy to say, well, then if we're authorized to do this, then we're authorized to do whatever it takes to have that meal. And it might, even though you disclaimed it, really lead to that. I wonder if you had any. I'm just going to sit down and let you comment.
Sure. Well, and what I was saying in my disclaimer, I guess to use your term, is that if you're going to look at actually what he was giving approval for here, if you look at what was going on, it was individuals bringing their own supper. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, that's very clear. It was individuals bringing their own food. And it's kind of hard. That's a big jump from, which they could have just eat at home before they came, individually. So, you know, it's not a collective, you know, it doesn't appear to me anyway, to in any way be a collective kind of work of the church kind of thing that he's approving. And just because he permits something by regulating it doesn't mean he's requiring it either. Chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians about marriage, you know, there's some things that are regulated that you don't actually have to go participate in. But the way he's regulating, he's saying, okay, if you're going to do this, here's how you need to do it in order to solve the effect it was having on their observance. But if, you know, you're too carnal and you're too hungry to wait for the others to come, don't come together to condemnation. Just eat it at home. Verse 18, so you're concerned about the phrase come together in the church. And in your mind, you're thinking probably that would have to be like an assembly scenario. Well, that's a good question. I just kind of indirectly dealt with that, I guess, with the idea or the concept of come together, get together kind of thing. I think he's referencing the place of assembly, not necessarily the assembly itself. And for years we've just, maybe it's correct that what they were doing was doing all this and mixing it all in together. I'm not so dogmatic here that I don't have an open mind anymore about this, but you know, I think probably because of our battle, we needed to have, or it was convenient, very convenient for purposes of convincing others of the truth in our arguments, to have this thing conjoined to the point the whole procedure's loused up completely. And so then that's what he's fixing. I think you've got two different things going on, separate times at the same place. And so when you come together in the church, you know, it is a challenge. When you look at chapter 14, you know, you see references obviously to regulation of when they came together in an assembly into one place. And so, you know, maybe this is a problem here with my view, but this is how I'm understanding, or this is how I would propose it to be, and to be consistent. If we're talking about them coming together in the place of assembly, much like we're going to do later on, we're going to eat a meal in the same place that we came together in an undivided assembly. We're going to do things we could do as individuals elsewhere, provided by individuals, financed by individuals. Am I just rambling here? Am I? Appreciate the question, though. Really good. There's another difficult question nobody's asked yet. And I hope we get it. Well, I wouldn't suggest that there's no problems with this view, that there's no difficulties here.
Richard. I don't have the difficult question. I just have the difficulty of understanding everything here. It seems to me that the coming together as a church is what's being implied in each of these coming together. And I think that you have made a supposition here in verse 34, but if anyone is hungry, you want to make them, if they're too hungry. Because why would we come together for a dinner if we're not hungry? And so you've necessarily had to put too hungry there.
Okay.
And that isn't what is being said here.
Is there any way, not to interrupt you, well, go ahead. I was going to say, is there any way that if I didn't include the word too, that the concept would still hold?
Well, I don't see it that way, but... I think he's talking about the Lord's Supper here and that they'd corrupted the Lord's Supper. Not that they'd corrupted it by changing, you know, the idea that there was, a loaf that represented the body of Christ and a cup of grape juice that represented the blood of Christ and the covenant relationship. But they were eating a common meal in a church service, and I think he's telling them you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Then what's your understanding of verse 2?
In verse 2, or did you want me
I'm
to
sorry.
Answer that?
No, go ahead.
In verse 2, he's praising them for the things that they have kept that are correct. But, he makes the statement, but he goes on here in verse 17 when he says, I'm not going to praise you in things... And if we read on in chapter 14, there's some things that they're doing that are irregular, and he's correcting those things. Mm-hmm. He didn't praise them because the women were speaking out in the assembly. But I bet, bet's not the right word. I'm sure that he taught them when he established the church that only the men were supposed to be speaking.
Right.
That was a tradition, but they have left the tradition. So the traditions that he taught that they were keeping, he praised them for. The traditions that he taught them that they now had corrupted, he says, I'm not praising you in that.
George.
Just as a side note on verse 2, the word in the New King James is traditions.
Right.
It's plural.
Right.
What do you think those plural traditions are? Because you're making it sound like these are ordinances in church services. And what kind of ordinances in church services, plural, besides the Lord's Supper, are there? Because you're making it sound like here is an ordinance. It's the Lord's Supper. And they were already keeping it correctly. But this is plural. So what other things are considered traditions in the church services that they were keeping correctly?
Well, if it sounded that way, I wasn't intending to limit it to things, only in a worship service, if that's what you're trying to...
Well, if it's traditions that are not just church services, then that means they could be messing up the communion. And the praise of verse 2 would not be concerning how they were keeping the Lord's Supper, is all I'm getting at.
I'm not following you. Go ahead.
Well, the praise could be for other traditions that they're
keeping. Could include other.
That would not include the Lord's Supper. You're trying to insist it includes the Lord's Supper, if not totally the Lord's Supper. And I'm saying perhaps he's praising them for keeping traditions besides the Lord's Supper.
Okay.
Anyway, it looks to me like in verse 33 and 34, when you take them together, there's two different meals here, it looks to me like. Mm-hmm. One meal is in verse 33, a meal that you come together to eat. And then the other meal is verse 34, if you're hungry, you eat this meal when you're hungry at home. It looks like there's two different meals under consideration. And so one meal you eat when you come together, that would be a sacred meal, the Lord's Supper. And you do that as the church, verse 18. But if you're hungry and you just want your belly filled, the solution is not, well, just wait till everybody's together. It looks to me like the solution is go home. That's what it seems like to me. But,
so you're seeing a contrast between two kinds of eating.
Well, the word but at the beginning of verse 34 makes me see a contrast, yeah.
Mm. Nathan.
Thank you.
My question was, or my difficulty is kind of along the same lines of what Brother Roger had asked about in verse 18. In the King James Version, it says, in the church. Mm-hmm. In the New King James, it says, as the church. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could... You're saying that this is a reference to a location. And I was wondering if there's another place in the New Testament where we see a church building being referenced to as in, we're going to gather in the church. I thought the New Testament used the phrase as, when it refers to the church as the people.
Well, that's a great question. I guess in my mind, reasoning this through is that they could have been meeting in one of those homes. And the home that they're gathering in, which, by the way, could have been a place for somebody to eat a common meal. And we know they often met in homes, first part of chapter Acts, yeah. Didn't get my caffeine this morning. Acts 2, they're not, before they start services, they're not coming together as far as for purposes of a worship service. But they are in the same place. They're coming together as they would identify one another as members of the church. They're just not in a corporal worship scenario. So, you know, we have other issues. Somebody mentioned, women speaking. There are situations that wouldn't necessarily be a worship service. That's not appropriate for women to do some things in that situation. We could come together as the church someplace and it not be a worship service, but we still feel that we still know that there's some things that a woman couldn't do in that scenario. So that's off the cuff. Maybe that's not the best answer, but there, if, for example, if they were coming together in a wealthier brother's home to eat, was very closely associated to their time of worship.
I guess the difficulty I have is that I don't see that as being anything to do with a location being talked about. I viewed it as church action versus individual action. Mm-hmm. When we have a church dinner, sometimes we eat in the building after church, but we always clarify.
Right.
Our sisters have provided this food, right. And this is work of individuals, and it's not the work of the church.
Right.
And I'm just having difficulty seeing how this isn't talking about a work of the church that the church is putting on and not the work of individuals. Mm-hmm. It seems like a love feast would be talking about individual action, which we are authorized to do as individuals, but this coming together as the church, I just have a difficulty not seeing that that's church work, something that the church itself is.
And so, just so I'm clear about what you're saying is that then you viewed that what they were doing was having the meal as they came together as a church that shouldn't have been, hence the mixing of.
I viewed this passage as in reference to the Lord's Supper. And so this is, they have church action taking place. The church has come together to eat their meal. And this isn't talking about individuals engaging in individual action. This is the church coming together to eat the church meal, and they perverted the Lord's Supper.
Okay.
George. And then Richard.
In Acts 20 and verse 7, it says they came together to break the bread, and that goes along with verse 18 in the New King James, they came together as the church to eat. And the only eating that we have record of coming together as the church to eat looks to me like would be break the bread, and I think that's the Lord's Supper.
Yeah, and I've always, of course, for years made the distinction in Acts 20 and 7 that you're not talking about just coming together to eat a common meal.
Right. And I know you believe that.
And, you know, Acts 2, they continued steadfastly in apostle doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayers in that context, obviously referencing things that they would do when they come together to worship the Lord. Of course, later in Acts, they did, you know, meet from house to house, eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart on any day. When they would come together at other times. Anyway, go ahead.
I have two things I wanted to say. You said we lose something by taking the traditional view of this passage that we ordinarily always, and I missed, what is it that we're losing out on?
I think we're missing out on, we may have been missing out on the fact that we actually got our congregation here that's using one loaf and one cup when they observe the Lord's Supper. Because that was a tradition, one of the traditions that he delivered to them, number one, and he was saying they were keeping it as he delivered that and others. Not suggesting at all Corinth was a perfect congregation that had problems, and they wrote to him about some problems in responding to that. But also from chapter 10, referencing.
Wait, I'm still missing. We're losing out, taking the traditional view that verse.
Well, maybe I'm misunderstanding how it's been traditionally taught, but I've got the strong impression anyway that they were not in any way even using one loaf and one cup, the Corinthians, when they observed the Lord's Supper, and you know they weren't even really eating the communion together at one time, you know, as a collective body. And what I'm proposing is that, you know, if in fact that really is the traditional explanation of the chapter, that they just completely lapse the whole thing up because of that, then we're missing out on an example here of a congregation who actually were at least going through the procedure correctly, and you've got an example there of that.
Well,
I also did say not that we would necessarily have to have that in order to have proof of our, you know.
Oh, well, I don't feel like we're missing out on anything by taking the traditional view of that. But I didn't understand what.
Well, and also we're missing. And also,
because it looks to me like in verse 21, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. It looks to me like that's saying you have turned the Lord's Supper into individual communion, and that's wrong. And I've used that, and I use that when I discuss with brethren using individual cups. We can't have our own supper. This is not our own supper. This is the Lord's Supper, which requires one cup and one loaf, and we're eating it together instead of each man having his own cup and his own loaf. Individual communion, there's no such thing. And yet, that's what those brethren are trying to teach. This is just between me and the Lord. This is my cup and my loaf, and just between me and the Lord. And he's saying, you can't have your own supper. This is the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
And you have turned it into each man having his own little supper. You can't do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, anyway, I just want to say something. This is really kind of off the topic, that two congregations sharing the same building, the Spanish versus the
English. Why don't you answer
the
question?
Well, I just wanted to say that I think that we practice that a lot, but I think we might need to reconsider whether that's right. Because the solution, when you have two groups of people and they each speak different languages, the solution was not have two separate services and make one Spanish speaking, the other English speaking. The solution in the Bible was everybody comes together, everybody stays together, and you have an interpreter translating.
Who do you decide who speaks? Which language? Which remains silent?
Yeah. Well, you use a translator. And
if you don't have a translator?
Then the Bible says, let him remain silent and let him speak unto himself and to God.
Yeah.
So it looks
so
to
which
me
language
like the majority,
would you remain
the,
silent?
The majority of however many people speak English looks to me like in this case the majority wins. We're going to have an English service. And if we don't have a translator, then the Spanish brethren are just going to have to sit there and speak to themselves and to God. But we get a translator. That's the Bible. The Bible solution never was have two services and split everybody up into Spanish and English. It was get a translator.
Richard. Okay, Richard skips. Now, Nathan.
Just had a quick point. I don't really buy the idea of we're missing out on an example of a congregation communing properly, because I feel like we have that when the Lord instituted the supper. We see how it was properly held.
We do have that.
Yeah.
And I was just talking about how that, since the establishment of the church.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the other hand, I think if, for instance, just if we took this new position, we could be missing out on a situation where digressive brethren were being corrected for not having worship scripturally. And so I don't think it's a matter of if we're missing out on something.
Okay. Really good feedback, guys. Appreciate it. That's what I was hoping for.
Roger. We still have a minute and 45 seconds.
Well, I appreciate discussion, too. And I don't know what I'm going to do here, except for I appreciated your thought about if there's something we're missing out. I never felt like this, but if we're missing out on having a congregation that's doing it right, an example, that's a good thing. I appreciated that. But I'm not over come together as a church.
Mm-hmm.
And what I kind of think is happening here is that they're adding in their own supper into the assembly of the church. And that's separate and apart from whether or not they were having one cup,
Mm-hmm.
They may have been. I appreciated your...
If that's what they were doing, then they were outside the pattern for...
They were adding in their own supper into the assembly of the church. And then Paul says, no, this is the meal that belongs in the church.
And I have the individual meal at home.
Yeah. Well... I'm going to say they can't have it in the church. And I was with Nathan there when he said, maybe I need to be clarified on this, but I've never used the word church and thought I was talking about the building. In fact, hundreds of times I've said, this is not the, and pounded on a wall, this is not the church. And I've never once said, this is the church. I've never done that. And
I certainly wasn't implying that either. Wasn't trying to anyway.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to kind of bring things together. If there was a meal they were taking that didn't belong in the church, and they may well have been doing the communion right, but there was still something going on that didn't belong in the church. That's all.
And so then the question, then the question would be, how is he addressing that? Is he saying, don't do the meal at all? Or is he addressing the way they go about it, which would then affected the, was affecting, distracting, and affecting their observance? Because he really does kind of come down pretty hard on how they were excluding the poor, you know, shaming them, humiliating them. Any more time?
No, nope, we're done.
There was one other question. Maybe I shortened a can of worms, but I didn't hear the question. But, you know, if they weren't, certainly, and this is another problem to the view, okay, my own view. Certainly he would have taught them when he delivered it to them that they needed to have their mind in the right place. And if they, you know, weren't doing that, then, you know. So that's a problem with the view. However, it does seem plausible that we've got a scenario where he's addressing something that, you know, on the surface everybody's involved in as far as the observance of the communion, and that procedure is correct. However, it was some individuals or many individuals that did not have their heart in the right place, and so he could praise for the procedure. But now that we've got this other thing coming along, it's affecting not everybody but many of them, and deal with it in that way. Just the way I've kind of begun to, you know, try to. There's really good feedback. I've been back and forth over this for a good long while, and I wanted to share the concepts here and see if there's, you know, is there any validity to this? If there's problems, what problems do we need to look at? I'll look closer at verse 18. At the end of the day, it just really seems like he's got a real problem with how they're treating their brethren, and that to me seems to be the primary concern here and how it's affecting their frame of mind when they get to the Lord's Supper.